This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra.
As summer approaches, it seems everyone is worried about gas prices. And Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has 10 Chevy models offering 30 mpg highway or better. The 2012 Equinox at 32, the all-new Sonic at 35, the Impala at 30, the Cruze at 39, and the all-new 2013 Malibu at 37. At Smokey Jennings, they're on the ground and ready to sell. 35 cars and Equinoxes in stock. Smokey Jennings is ready to show you why their customers rate them in the top 5 for customer satisfaction in the St. Louis region. Smokey Jennings, family-owned and operated since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for Ag Direct at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. Ag Direct also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes, too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with Ag Direct, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
First of all, in our farm news on this Thursday morning, the DTN general opening call for later this morning. Expect corn to open 1 to 2 lower, beans about a nickel higher, wheat 1 to 2 higher. The overnight crude oil market, 13 cents higher at $92.94. The Brent crude, 24 cents lower at $109.51. The June gold contract, $10.20 higher at $1,546.80, while the U.S. dollar index 0.153 higher at 81.525. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat closed at 638¾. That was up 30¼. September wheat, 651¼, up 29. December wheat closed at 671, up 27¼. July corn yesterday closed at 620. That was up 22¾. September corn closed at 537, up 14. December corn, 526¼, up 11¾. July soybeans yesterday closed at 1422, up 9. August beans closed at 1395¼, up 1½. September beans closed at 1342¼, up 2¼. July soybean meal yesterday closed at 425, up 78. August meal closed at 41020, up 45. September meal closed at 392.40, up 37. July soybean oil yesterday, 50.43, down 104. August oil, 50.64, down 104. September oil, 50.84, down 104. July oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 337½, up 7¼. September oats closed at 341¾, up 6½. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon, with corn and wheat sharply higher. Technical and fund buying at the Port of Trade helped to lift corn and wheat values. Confirmation by private exporters of the sale of 900,000 tons of U.S. corn to China supported stronger corn futures. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 23 to 26 cents stronger at 638 to 658, and soybean bids were mostly 7 to 9 higher at 1398 to 1412. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 23 to 26 higher at 650 to 667. Soybeans up mostly 9 cents at 1410 to 1426, while the cash wheat bids ended 29 to 30 cents higher at 620 to 638. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported those corn bids up 22 to 26 cents, ranging from 648 to 658. Soybeans advanced 7 to 10 cents at 1404 to 1417, and the wheat price is up $0.23 to $0.25 at $6.27 to $6.38. Illinois River Barge Leading Elevators quoted producer corn biz $0.23 to $0.27 stronger at $6.55 to $6.58. Soybeans gained $0.14 to $0.18 at $14.32 to $14.35. And the new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery up $0.30 to $0.35 at $6.34 to $6.39. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids $0.26 to $0.28 higher at $6.67 to $6.73. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by $0.14 to $0.15 with quotations at $14.39 to $14.48. Soft red winter wheat up $0.26 at $6.53 to $6.54, and the Milo gained $0.23 at $5.86 to $5.87. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, June hogs closed at $86.50 up a dime. July hogs closed at $87.62 up 22. August hogs closed at $88.35 up 65. June cattle yesterday closed at $116.87 up 45. August cattle closed at $118.95 up 22. October cattle closed at $124.17 up 52. May feeder cattle yesterday closed at $149.85 up 42. August feeders closed at $158.32 up 65. September feeders closed at $159.80 up 65. Now we go once again to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Wednesday, May 16th. For the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hogs, barrels and gilts closed $1.36 higher. Carcass-based price range is 73 to 84 and a weighted average of 77.10. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 12,800. Illinois Direct Brown Gilt trade was steady to firm at 52 to 56, while Illinois Direct Slaughter Sows traded mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds to 400 to 450 pounds at 40 to 44. 450 to 550 pounds, 43 to 48. Over 550 pounds, 46 to 50. Today's estimated receipts, 925, and Tuesday's actuals, 1,325. Pork carcass cut out this evening at $81.93, and that is down 31 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter to federal inspection, hogs for today, 414,000. Last week, 415,000. A year ago, 413,000. Week to date of 1,232,000. Cattle for today, 124,000. Last week, 125,000. A year ago, 126,000. Week to date of 377,000. Box beef cutout values were weak to lower on moderate demand and moderate to heavy offerings. Total movement today, 216 fab loads of 86 trim. Choice at 190.98, down 63 cents. Select at 185.10, and that is down $1.98. At the United Producers Auction over at Shelbyville, 348 heads sold yesterday. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $1 to $1.50 lower, with Holstein steers steady to $1 higher. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s at 120 to 127. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 115 to 120. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 112.5 to 117, with select and choice 2s and 3s, 109.5 to 112.75. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 120 to 122.75, and select and choice 2s and 3s, 117 to 119. At the Fairview Livestock Auction, 219 head sold yesterday. Compared to last week, slaughter steers, heifers, and bulls traded steady. Slaughter cows 3 to 4 higher, with a large number of cows having been on feed. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 120 to 125. High dressing, 125 and a quarter to 127.75. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 121.5 to 125. Slaughter cows, breaking type, 95.5 to 99.75. High dressing, $1 to $1.05. Boning type cows, 86.75 to 88 and a quarter. High dressing, 91 to 97.75. Slaughter bulls, your grade 1s at 106 to 109.5. High dressing, 113.75 to 118. Opening report for the Greenville Livestock Auction. Estimated receipts this morning, 275. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers were trading $1 higher, with Holstein steers steady. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 121.5 to 127. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 111.5 to 113. And heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 121 to 126. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning back to WSMI.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 135 and a half, up a quarter; for block cheese, 150 unchanged; for barrel cheese, 146 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk yesterday, $15.25. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, $6.52. For June, $6.36. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, $6.44. And for June, $6.28. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, $14.13. And for June, $14.17. And wheat delivered to Scottville for May, $6.17. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield, $6.52. Corn at Scottville, $6.44. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.13. Wheat at Scottville, $6.17. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area at this time. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculate treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the upper 70s with light east winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the mid-50s, and for tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies, the high in the mid-80s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday: partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower Sunday night and Monday. Low temperatures in the mid-60s, high temperatures in the low 80s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have light north winds, the barometric pressure rising, mostly clear skies, and a temperature of 47 degrees. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
In this town, there's only one pizza joint that has your best interest in mind. They make every single pie from scratch, the freshest ingredients, and 100% real mozzarella. Oh, and if your engine's running a quart low, well, they can take care of that too. Casey's General Store, a convenience store and a whole lot more. Right now, you can get a large made-from-scratch taco pizza for just $13.99.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. First of all, in our farm news today, M&M crop consultant Bill Brink was our guest in the WSMI studios Wednesday. We talked about the replanting of some cornfields in the area and how important it is to manage the crop.
Well, there are some producers I notice, particularly in the southern part of the county here, Macoupin County, there seems to be some patching in of the existing fields or complete replanting. And fortunately, we've got this good window of opportunity right now. You know, here we are in the middle of May and have this opportunity to replant. So, time is kind of on our side too. But obviously, those that are replanting and patching in, obviously they've been out there in the field evaluating the stands. And I hope that they've checked with, their M&M crop specialist or someone to determine, whether a lesser population planted, say, a month ago would yield less than a you know, a more perfect stand planted right now. So this is a big question. It's always a very difficult decision to make, but these fields that were crusted over pretty heavily, some certainly do need to be patched in or replanted.
That was the case, I think, with the field I saw yesterday south of Litchfield. It looked like it was pretty well crusted over. I think probably maybe part of that was underwater.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, it seemed like a lot of this corn that was planted around, oh, let's just say the 7th to the 10th of April or so, and then got that tremendous rain. I mean, some producers were talking in excess of 5 inches, and whenever we get that much rain, you know, obviously we're going to have a pretty thick crust on the soil, which prevents good oxygen flow, oxygen exchange with the seed. And therefore, germination does not occur. And I've seen this. I've been in numerous fields and in some of those areas in the field that were underwater or heavily crusted. And you dig up the seed. The seed's still there, but you know it's rotted and it never will germinate and produce any kind of a plant. So that decision to patch in or replant is probably a good one.
Is that the primary reason a farmer would replant a field of corn? The weather and water standing in the field?
Well, certainly, you know, stand is the reason. Evaluating the stand, I mean, obviously you've got to have the plants out there to have a good yield. So, you know, you've got to get out there and in some way try to evaluate, you know, what the stand is going to be. And, you know, that's very difficult at times because sometimes you can find the seed, sometimes you can't, and it's very difficult. One of the things that kind of had working for it, I know before all the rain occurred, there was a lot of replanting that was contemplated, but then we started getting some rain, some warm temperatures, and we started to see stands actually improve in some of these fields. Some of these plants started coming through the softer, warmer soil, so that, you know, that helped some. But now this much time has passed since those heavy rains and the thick crust, you know, we can make a pretty good determination whether or not that stand is going to make it. And, you know, obviously in some cases it's not, and replanting is a good decision.
You know, we've seen a lot of fields that were completely underwater with the corn emerged. And it's, you know, with the way these fields are drained anymore, the water runs off pretty fast, but they were still underwater for, say, maybe as much as 24 to 48 hours. And you can still get a good stand of that, can't you?
Yeah, that's true. When you talk about flooded conditions, common knowledge is that, you know, corn can withstand about, 2 days being submerged. Now, it depends upon where the growing point is. Obviously, if the growing point is above the water level, it's going to survive longer than that. But when a plant is completely submerged, including the growing point on that plant, common knowledge is that about 2 days is all that it can withstand. Now, if there's much cooler temperature, I think they say something like 2 days at 77 degrees or warmer. So if it's cooler than that temperature, you know, it might possibly be able to survive a little bit longer. But then, you know, there's a physiological stress that can occur. We start talking about, you know, some diseases that might set in later on, like crazy top and some of these other things. So even though that plant might survive flooded conditions, you know, there might be some problems later on. So it really does take, you know, a good evaluation to determine whether or not to replant.
And with the stand we have now, some of the diseases you mentioned and also weed problems or things need to be watched out for, correct?
Well, that's very true. We've got this nice window of opportunity right now, and I'm telling producers, you know, let's get out there and take care of that corn crop first. You know, I know that there's a tendency to want to go ahead and plant soybeans, but let's take care of that corn crop now. Let's make sure that, you know, if there's replanting that needs to be done, let's do that. And I've mentioned this before, and I'll probably continue to mention it again. Let's get those weeds controlled because, you know, research has shown, I've seen a lot of research showing that when weeds get to be 2 inches or taller, corn is in the V4 stage. That's when a yield reduction can start occurring. So, you know, we've got that opportunity now to get in there and spray with a post-emergence herbicide or whatever. Let's get that corn crop taken care of now. We're in the middle of May here. And then, you know, let's proceed to the soybean crop because there's a wider window for planting soybeans as compared to corn. So I think that should be first and foremost in producers' mind is get that corn crop in a condition that you want it to be in.
That was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. The Illinois Weed Association held their crop tour Tuesday across southern Illinois. Wednesday morning, we talked to Mark Miller, manager of Manel Milling of Mount Olive, who led one of the tours, and he gives us the results.
We got a yield estimate based on yesterday's tour of 56 bushel per acre. You know, that's statewide based on all the fields that we traveled through, and most of those obviously were south of Brownstown. Everybody pretty much generally saw the same thing that we did while you were with us. A lot of foliar disease, very prevalent out there, very little head scab, and generally speaking, the consensus was that we were about 3 weeks away from harvest.
How many fields did you go through altogether?
Our group ended up with 19. I'm not sure what the final tally was overall, but I think our group actually hit more than anybody else, so I'm going to say somewhere around 50 or 60 fields were looked at yesterday.
And how many, the ones you looked at yesterday were all in, how many different counties?
Well, we did one in Macoupin. We went through Montgomery, did several, Madison County, Bond County, and then we finished up in Fayette. It was easy to find fields as we traveled south of Mount Olive, and then we swung back north of Greenville toward Fillmore area. It was a little bit more difficult to find wheat out there.
But all pretty much, did they all look about the same? I mean, with the same problems that we saw early?
Yeah, I'd say generally speaking that all the fields were very, very similar. You could tell that there were several that probably were sprayed with a fungicide, looked a little bit better, a little bit greener. Those that weren't were showing the signs of the foliar disease. The flag leaf was really turning yellow. I think that the yellow tint you see out there on most wheat fields right now is probably that flag leaf turning yellow and really not a sign of the crop ripening. Very little scab in any of the fields. I thought really overall the stands were pretty darn good, and the fields do look good from the road.
And that was Mark Miller of Manel Milling. Last year, the final yield estimate was 62 bushel. Other groups found frost or hail damage in some fields and the chance that head scab could begin, as well as other foliar diseases, which was the biggest concern noted. Once again, we talked to, from Manel Milling in Mount Olive, Jennifer Munke, the assurance director for Manel, and she explains their grading process.
Okay, the first thing we do would be to have one of our, usually our summer help would go out and probe the truck. We still do that by hand here. We're one of the very few facilities that still do that, mostly just because of the way our facility is set up. So they'll do that, and then they'll bring in a bucket of wheat to the scale house where it will be graded, and it'll be the information from the truck will be entered into our computer system, and then the guys will run that through a splitter, and they'll take half of that and run it through a moisture tester, then we run it through the dockage tester, we get the test weight, the wheat moisture, the...
What do you dock for?
We dock for insects, foreign materials such as chaff. We just want to purchase the wheat, which is the only thing we're going to make flour out of. So we really don't want any of the things that come along with that. If there's a lot of corn or beans in there, we also will dock for that.
Now, is there a certain something you test for from a year to year? Is there a certain thing you look for, like, say, a mold or an insect or something?
Some years we will test for vomitoxin, which is produced by a fungus that gets on the wheat, which is caused by the head scab fungus. This year we're not really looking to see a lot of that because that infects the wheat when it's flowering. And if the conditions are cool and drier, we usually don't see too many problems with that. We also test for falling number, which is an important indicator in some of the flower parameters some of our customers have. And if the wheat gets rained on a lot of times when it's ready to be harvested, that can affect the falling number. If it's too low, we'll have to dock for that.
Now, that falling number, does that have to do with the test weight of the wheat?
Sometimes it's more directly an indication of the amylase activity in the flour, which affects the baking performance.
The wheat you mill here, where does it go?
We have customers throughout the Midwest. We go to Texas, Missouri. We've sent flour as far as Mexico and California, but we haven't done that recently.
Now, when you get wheat in here, is garlic been a problem in recent years?
Some fields have garlic problems, but it's not been as much of an issue as some years. It just varies on the field.
How much wheat will you take in?
Our facility holds around 900,000 bushels, so it varies how much we have carryover. Just varies year to year how much we can take.
Do you have a lot of carryover from year to year?
Compared to last year, we do have quite a bit more. Last year, we went almost directly into new crop since we had kind of a short wheat last year.
And that was the Quality Assurance Director for Minnell Milling of Mount Olive, Jennifer Munkie. It's coming up on 6:35. A couple of other notes in our farm news today. The annual Pheasants Forever Wildlife Art and Digital Image Contest has finished. There were over 120 entries from Montgomery County. The winners of the Junior Art Division were Brianna Owens of Litchfield and Blaze Borer of Litchfield. Senior Art Division winners were Cole Bradburn of Litchfield and Tabitha Taylor of Lincolnwood. The winners of the Digital Image Division were Alex Sellers of Hillsboro and Shelby Curtis of Litchfield. A panel of three local judges selected the winners in each category. The winners will receive their prizes at the Montgomery County Pheasants Forever annual fundraising banquet. It will be held on Saturday, August the 25th at the KC Hall in Taylor Springs. Net income attributable to Deere & Company was $1.056 billion for the second quarter ending April 30th, compared to $904.3 million for the same period last year. U.S. wheat futures rose 2%, boosted by concerns about dry weather in overseas wheat-producing regions and a less optimistic government assessment of the U.S. winter wheat crop. Wheat futures for July delivery rose 10¼ cents to 608.5 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Once again, the DTN General opening call for later this morning. Expect corn to open about a penny lower, beans about a nickel higher, and wheat about a penny higher. The overnight crude oil market, 13 cents higher at $92.94. The Brent crude, 24 cents lower at $109.51. The June gold contract, $10.20 higher at $1,546.80. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106, beginning with the opening commodity markets this morning at 9:32. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you on this Thursday morning by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.